Tonight I'd like to talk about that not only is God a God of power, He's also a God of order. Jeremiah 10:12 we read, "It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens." It's a clear statement of God's wisdom and understanding. Not only was He able to power to create the universe, He also had all the necessary wisdom to do it, to make the whole thing function. He had a purpose and plan for His creation. And He created the universe according to His plan. And He created it orderly, according to Scripture. Not only was power needed, attention to order and detail was needed. God created the vast and mighty, the inconceivably great, powerful, and wonderful. It's beyond comprehension of the greatness and power involved there. And He also created the tiny and little, the inconceivably small, intricate, and complex. Just beyond comprehension for intricateness and complexity. So God is not only the God of power, He's the God of order and wisdom. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, He is God, who formed the earth and made it, He established it. He did not create it a chaos. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." So an important verse in Isaiah that He did not create the earth, just left it as a big mess, totally random. He had a purpose and plan, and He formed it for His particular purposes and created order and structure through the whole thing. In Genesis 2, verses 1 through the first part of the second verse says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work which He had done." So this mentions that God finished the creation. And after that, there was no creation except, you know, some supernatural testimonies to His greatness. But basically, God was created and finished His creation at that time. And all the detail and order was done as well. But over time, the order decreases. We have this from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And I'll read that. We'll look that one up and read it. Hebrews chapter 1, 10 through 12. "And Thou, Lord, didst found the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of Thy hands. They will perish, but Thou remainest. They will all grow old like a garment. Like a mantle, Thou wilt roll them up, and they will be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years will never end." It's a quote from the Old Testament, very true. The order will, and the creation itself will be wearing out. We also have other indications of that same thing. One place would be Romans chapter 8, I think it is. The energy and matter are still there, but they become less usable. So the orderliness, usefulness, and deteriorates over time. Okay, just leave it there. There were one ahead there. Okay, now I want to sidestep to consider scientific laws of creation. These are well known. Energy conservation is the first law of thermodynamics, and entropy increase the second law of thermodynamics. And just briefly, what they are is The first law says is energy conservation. It says energy, which is also food matter because they're convertible, can be, that energy conservation means that the energy can be converted, but it can't be created or destroyed. What's here will not change. The amount will not change. And the second law is that of entropy increase, if you know what entropy is. I'll have to explain that. Most people might know that one. There's always a tendency for energy to become less available for useful work. By the first law, the energy stays the same, the amount of energy and matter. But it becomes, and the second law says, it becomes less and less useful. Consequences of that is that all processes go to a condition of greater probability or randomness. That's sort of a scientific explanation. It means that orderliness and structure are always going to decrease. This is just what they find from observing the universe and through experiment. High entropy means randomness, disorder, disorganization. Low entropy means orderliness and structure. And a couple examples here. I'm going slow through these slides. I don't got too many of them. Example here. Clearly, entropy was at work in our boys' bedroom. Mark and kids. I was thinking, perhaps I could have told them, please reduce the entropy in your room and it would work better than saying clean the room. But, probably wouldn't have worked either. But to confess, also, entropy is actually working at my desk as well. I can still find things after some effort. I usually know what stack or box to look in. But entropy is definitely increasing. And it takes energy. You can reduce entropy, make it less, by putting energy into it. So if I put some work into it, I could decrease entropy in my room. Okay. Anyway, entropy means amount of disorder. More entropy, more disorder. And, okay, we can go to the next one. This is just a little explanation. That might be clear, hopefully. It's from probably, you could say, any beginning book in science might do this. What increase is from a simple experiment. If you got two containers of air, one at 40 degrees, one at 80 degrees, those are the numbers I made up, but anyway. And there's a barrier in between them. What's going to happen if you take away the barrier? It's going to mix. You have to tell it to mix. You have to do something to mix it. No, it'll naturally mix. And you come out with this one. I put those degrees in there because when it's all combined, my best guess, I'm pretty sure it is actually the average, 60 degrees. There's your mixture. Now, here's the question. I'm going to put the barrier back in down here. Will it naturally go back the other way? Just put 40 degrees and 80 degrees again? No, it won't. That shows a natural tendency of things to go from less random to more random. There's a lot more randomness in this last one than the first one. There's more structure to the one up there. There's separation there. There's more structure, more order than the one where it's all mixed. And that's the natural tendency. You'd never think it would go the other way if you put a barrier in there. That's an example, simple example of entropy that you might get in a science class. So I thought I'd throw that in just for clarity. But what about a refrigerator? It's like a separator, putting hot air out and cold air in. Isn't that decreasing entropy, making things all ordered? And yes, it is. But what does it take? It takes a lot of energy. It takes energy from an outside source, plug in the wall, to do that separation. And when you consider all the energy put into it from the outside source and how useful, let's say, hydroelectric power just changed into heat and all that, the whole overall process, the whole system taken together, the entropy decreased. The power you use to do that separation in the refrigerator, you can't get it back again. It went into heat in the air or something. You can't get it back again. It's less useful now. So the whole system considered, the entropy increased, the disorder increased. But for the refrigerator itself, it did decrease entropy. It actually did get colder inside and hotter outside. And if you ever felt the back of the refrigerator, you can see what's happening to the warm air that was inside. It was forced out along with extra heat because it took some extra efforts from the electricity you put into it to get more heat. And you can feel that coming out of the back of the refrigerator. Okay, so that's this example just for learning about entropy as the real, measurable, one of the basic laws of science that it always is that way. And I presented those two things separately because I just want to point out clearly that these two from the Bible and God's creation and God's orderliness directly relate to the two laws of science, of thermodynamics. Actually, the first one, God's creation that he finished after the first week, it really corresponds to energy conservation. Nothing can be created or destroyed in the current measurement of energy and mass. It's always conserved. Because God finished his creation at the end of the first week. And we also can point out that whatever God did in creation, we don't know how he did it. Scientists make an error by assuming that we can understand by what's going on presently in methods and laws that we can tell what went on in creation. And that's not legitimate. How it was created and how God did it is different from the laws that are working now. So when we try to use the current laws, what happens? You need gods of time when the God didn't need a lot of time. If he had other methods in his creation, and that probably wouldn't work anyway. I think you need more than just more time. Anyway, basically, what God used in creation is not available right now. God hasn't revealed what he did in creation. He did what he revealed, what he accomplished, but how he did it, we know it was by his word. But you know, if you want to get in details how he did it, God doesn't tell you that. And just examining the present methods, you can't figure out how God did it. So anyway, the first law of thermodynamics agrees very well with God's finished creation. And the second law agrees very well with the Bible in that entropy is increasing after creation and that it was very ordered at the beginning. God created extreme order at the beginning, but this order is gradually deteriorating and has corresponds to entropy increase. So the Bible, again, very nicely agrees with the basic laws of science. And again, scientists make error trying to explain why entropy is increasing now just from observable things and why. And how it got to the high entropy at the beginning. And that's because the methods that God uses are different than now. If the Big Bang was true, if it was, they still have a problem, the scientists. Because they can't, that would explain power, but they can't explain order. The Big Bang by itself couldn't even do the simplest things, like where did the stars come from? Where did the planets come from? They could not explain that. A Big Bang, what happens when you get a big explosion? Do you get more order or less order? From my understanding, you always get less order. You get a very high increase in entropy. What would happen in a Big Bang if they didn't modify their theory, then they'd do that. They'd, you know, correct things. But the initial protons, whatever, kind of conglomeration of the things, it's more subatomic particles than that, but they would never coalesce. The outward force of the bang, they'd continue to expand forever. Nothing would ever form in the way of solid bodies and things. So you'd never get the universe like we see now. That's the first step they wouldn't do. And there's, of course, from there, all the complexity of life we can't explain either. So the question they have is, who wound up the universe? You know, it was. They might be able to explain, or think they have explained mass and energy, but who wound up the universe with all this order? Of course, we know the answer, and they are still trying to find it. There's the order is there, and there's no explanation for it. You don't have God. So, I mean, God's creation parallels scientific laws very well. And when you get away from those, what the Bible teaches, you can try to figure out with your own method what God did, you run into trouble. Okay, and then I just want to say that entropy exceptions are okay. I mentioned the refrigerator. Put energy in. You can decrease the entropy, make it more organized, separating cold from hot. Here's a couple other examples. Graphite or pencil lead becoming a diamond. Graphite is not as well organized, not as well ordered as the atoms and a diamond. So the entropy decreases when you go to a diamond. But then again, how is a diamond formed? With very great amounts of heat and pressure. And it occurs naturally, though. So entropy can decrease naturally under certain conditions. I mean, not increase, decrease, so it becomes more ordered, opposite to what it usually does. But again, when you consider the whole system, energy going into the system, from whatever sources of heat and pressure came from, I think associated with volcanoes and the formation of diamonds. I'm not positive of that. That would be at least one way. If you take the whole system in, entropy has decreased. Another maybe less obvious one would be the snowflake. Water vapors, extremely random. It becomes this well-organized crystalline structure, snowflake, a definite decrease in entropy and organization increase. There again, consider the whole system, the entropy has increased. That's a little bit less obvious because you're not putting heat and pressure into getting a snowflake, but the actual state from going from water vapor into the solid, there's an energy transfer involved there. So it doesn't mean that the second law has been violated because you're not taking the whole system in consideration when you just look at this particular thing. There can be decreases in entropy and still not violate the second law of thermodynamics. So exceptions are okay. They look like exceptions. Then, next one. You can go to the next one now. Entropy versus evolution. It makes evolution extremely unlikely. I don't think entropy can disprove evolution. Since you can argue, or they can argue, that within the big system, entropy of course increases, but in a little part of that system, entropy decreases and creates a human being. You know, big step there, slightly. But the thing is, just the most simple things like crystals, this reasoning works. And it's true. And naturally, those things like crystals and other things can form naturally, non-living things. But with more complex things, especially living things, the order and structure is so great, it just makes it impossible. So So obviously that it makes evolution extremely unlikely. And also we have the other facts that are even more convincing about why evolution is wrong. It's been presented many times. Just the problem, these two things under here don't depend on the second law. You can examine the probabilities themselves to show that it's basically impossible. The probabilities are so great. And there's many other things. I just remembered the irreducible complex theory. I like that one. There's no way that they could produce this living part of a living thing from simpler things. It had to be there already working, or else it would never have been produced. So how do you produce something that has to be working in order for it to be produced, or something like that? And you can't get it any simpler, and it's already so complex nothing could explain it. That type of idea. But someone else might be able to explain that better. I haven't read that. There's some books on that, and I haven't read them. But that really is influence. I like that one. Because the argument on evolution is that after generation, you've got these mutations. But with these irreducible complexities, you can't do that. These things are within a cell. They have to be working as a cell to work. For some examples, I think that's where they're coming from. This is within a cell. I know at least some of them are. Okay, and then, God is a God of order, not only of power. And you know, he has a purpose, a plan for his creation. And it's not only power that's needed, attention to order and detail is needed. And this is, it can't be explained outside of God. He has a purpose and plan for what he has made. In the life of a Christian also, God is not only a God of power, but a God of order. So it changes the focus there a bit. It's also true in the life of Christians. I want to read a part of a psalm. Psalm 50, 23, last part of it, it says, "To him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God." Someone who orders his way aright, God will show his salvation. So God expects order in our lives. We need to correct our lives and back it in his way, his direction, his order. And 1 Corinthians 1, 22-25 has the words power and wisdom, power of God and wisdom of God right in it. These jiggly things I'm talking about tonight, not only for the physical world, apply to the Christian and spiritual walk with God. "For the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So Christ, both the power of God to save us and the wisdom of God to save us. Both the power to do it and gives us the wisdom to do it. Both are needed. And Christ is our answer. And the whole creation points to him. And in him all things are created, as it says elsewhere. And one other verse I want to read is similar. Colossians 1, verses 9-14. "And so, from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. And again, it mentions wisdom and understanding that we need. It remembers the power. It mentions the power of God that we need to be strengthened with. So God, in creating us as new people in Christ, did it with his power. We're created new in Christ by God's power. And we live new lives in Christ by God's wisdom. And, you know, like the... And the world doesn't understand how we became new in Christ. It tries to understand by its current knowledge, can't figure it out. But our lives are a testimony that God did it. We don't know how, but he did it. We follow him and we obey him. But he creates us new in Christ when we do his will, follow his plan. And just like we couldn't understand God's creation with current methods, like scientists try to do, that we come up with incorrect answers, so also if we try to figure it out, the world tries to figure out the Christians, they can't, because it's spiritually discerned, as Corinthians goes on to say. So we must live our lives according to his will, following him. Our lives can be a testimony that God has changed us. And this because we trust in him, because he's able to do it. He's able to do more than we are able ourselves, more than we can ask or think, Ephesians it says. So we need to trust God, and he can make you new in Christ. Thank you.